Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 11 on Through the Word, and I am sad to tell you, listeners, it begins. Grumbling, complaining, the first spark. What if you could go back to the beginning of the biggest disaster in your life and trace the whole inferno back to the very spark that started it all? The idea, the attitude, the one bad decision that started the whole mess. Those of you who know the story of Numbers know that it does not end well. Numbers 11 is the spark. The Israelites have been promised a beautiful land of milk and honey. On God's word, it is theirs. If only they will learn to trust. And that is what the two-year journey through the desert is all about, learning to trust and follow God. They had a hiccup early on, but they've been making good progress for some time. Then, chapter 11. We haven't hit bankruptcy yet, but an inferno has to start somewhere. Verse 1. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And so, it starts with complaining, grumbling about their hardships. And here's the key, in the hearing of the Lord. Every complaint, God hears. Of course God hears, but do we truly get it? We complain, and God hears. This is a bigger issue than you think. This is the spark, and it's starting to kindle. Back in verse 1, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. God was angry. If you provided food for 2 million people every day and they grumbled, I think you'd be angry. I'd be angry. And fire broke out. No injuries reported, but fire in the outskirts. Listen, this is how it is. Grumbling starts a fire in the camp. In your marriage, in your family, in your youth group, at your church, in any group that is committed to follow God together, it's the little grumbling that sparks the fire in camp. Just the outskirts at first, but fire spreads. Verse 2. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. Well, prayer is powerful. Crisis averted, for the moment. Verse 4. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. So here we get to the source, the rabble. The Jews had some tagalongs, Egyptians and others who joined the Israelites on their journey, but they didn't have the same commitment to God. It happens in church too. Tagalongs who like the fun stuff, but don't have the same commitment and don't have the same appetite for spiritual things. God provided manna every day for the Jews, wafers of food that appeared with the evening dew on the ground every night. The manna was all they needed, but the rabble was tired of it. Verse 5. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. What? All the goodies we had in Egypt? The Jews were in slavery. They weren't feasting. They were crying to God for rescue. But memory can deceive you, especially when you get to reminiscing about the worldly stuff. Remember, Egypt in the Bible pictures the world, and manna is a picture of Jesus. What happens when Christians grumble when just having Jesus every day isn't enough? Back in the world, I had all the fun. Hey, that fun destroyed you. But we get stupid, hang out with the rabble, and start talking about the glory days. Watch out. Moses heard the grumbling too, and Moses was troubled. Verse 11, he asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Moses is overwhelmed. There's a little irony here. Moses complains about all the complaining. But the heart of Moses' issue is an eye problem. Look at verse 13. Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me. Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. Suddenly, Moses has more eyes than a spider. I, me. Moses is overwhelmed and ready to give up and die. And I can relate. I'm not judging. If you've ever attempted to lead grumbling people to follow God, you know. But it's not on you, Moses. Who told you that you have to carry all those people by yourself? And God doesn't get mad at Moses. In fact, God helps him out. In verse 16, he tells Moses to gather 70 elders, and God will put the Spirit on them so that they can help carry the burden, and Moses will not have to carry it all alone. Thank you, Lord. Then in verse 18, God tells Moses to gather the people to let them know they will have meat. Not for a day, not for a week, in verse 20, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, "Why did we ever leave Egypt?" As always, God gets to the heart of the matter. This wasn't about food, and it wasn't about hardship. You have rejected the Lord. That was the heart. That was the real issue. Listen, hardships are hard. I get it. I am well acquainted. But if your life belongs to God, if you have committed yourself to follow God and he has committed to lead you, then understand that every complaint and every grumble is against him. And there is more than one way to respond to hard times. Complaining is not your only option. And the danger is much greater than you imagine. Grumbling is playing with fire. Multiple times, the New Testament warns us not to follow the example of these Israelites. 1 Corinthians 10, Hebrews 4, just don't do it. The grumblers never get to enter God's rest. Moses, on the other hand, misses the point. He still thinks this whole thing is on him. In verse 21, he basically says, "Where am I supposed to get enough meat for all those people?" Verse 23, "The Lord answered Moses, 'Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you.'" That's right. Eyes back on me, Mosey. It's not on you. And neither is your ministry, and neither is mine. Jesus said to take his yoke. It may be a big burden, but it's his. He carries it, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And of course, God comes through for Moses. 70 elders are gathered, and God delivers his spirit. And God provides the meat. Verse 31, "Now a wind went out from the Lord, and drove quail in from the sea. It scattered them up to 2 cubits deep all around the camp, as far as a day's walk in any direction." Quail, tasty little birdies as far as the eye can see. And the Israelites gathered for 2 days straight. But it wasn't enough. It never is. If God's manna is not enough for you, nothing will be. If Jesus does not satisfy you, nothing will. It's all chasing the wind. God's response is severe. Verse 33, "But while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague." Why the plague? Because the grumbling was the spark. Craving what God had not provided was kindling, and that fire could destroy the entire camp.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.